Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast, recorded September 1st, 2019. This week's sermon, Core Values and Introduction, by Carrie Eck.
Okay, we begin a series today on our core values. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. More and more people in the United States are adopting a values-neutral philosophy of life and outlook on life. Now, what does that mean? This mindset maintains there is no right and wrong. And in theory, no one has the right to impose their values, their thoughts, their beliefs on anyone else. In truth, at least, it feels or appears to me that only Christians are the ones in this mindset who are not to impose their values on anyone else. Florida Atlantic University is a public taxpayer-supported institution with 6 campuses in southern Florida and over 30,000 students enrolled. One of their core values, and I'm quoting here, is to respect diverse life challenges and create an environment that is inclusive of all. And yet, a few years ago, a professor at Florida Atlantic University asked the students in his class to write the name Jesus on a piece of paper, place the paper on the floor, and stomp on the paper. While most of the students in the class felt a pressure to comply, Ryan Rotella refused to do so, and he complained to the school officials about the assignment. Administration initially defended the assignment, and Rotella was expelled from the class for violating the student code of conduct. Not until the public pushed back did the university recant its position and apologize, saying the university has to hold true to its core values. But if one of the school's core values is to be inclusive of all, why was Ryan Rotella suspended for his values, his beliefs, his views? Why was Ryan Rotella told that he had threatened the safety of other students because he refused to stomp on the name of Jesus? Every organization, every school, every business, company, even individuals have a set of core values by which we operate our lives, our business, our company, our church, whether they are publicly articulated or not. New Hope Christian Church has a set of core values which define who we are and how we do ministry and why. And we're going to begin this week with that series of sermons. Today, we're going to specifically define what core values are and why core values are important. And then we're going to spend the next 5 weeks looking at each of the 5 core values we have at New Hope. If you don't know what they are, you can go to the website, click on that tab about, and then who we are, and see what those are in preparation for each week. So during his 3-year ministry, Jesus was constantly being questioned and tested and debated. His fiercest enemies were those who said they were religious. Still true. Still true 2,000 years ago today. And so in Matthew 22, 2 different groups of religious leaders tried to entrap Jesus with questions they thought were difficult questions. But in both cases, Jesus amazed those who were asking him the questions with the answers that he gave. So thinking the third time might be a charm. Thinking the third time just had to be different. Another group comes, tries again, asks Jesus what they think is a difficult question. Jesus' answer to their question identifies what his core values were, and at the same time provides us with a definition of core values in general and how important they are. So Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 33. When the crowds heard Jesus, they were astounded at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question: "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment," Jesus said. "Now, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." If you take out the outline there from inside of your bulletin, first thing we're going to do is define core values. Someone has estimated there are or were over 600 commands in the law that God had given his chosen people through Moses. Over 600. So when the Pharisees come to Jesus with the question, which of these over 600 is the most important one, I really don't think they were sincerely interested in Jesus' answer. They simply wanted a reason, whatever answer he gave, to disagree with him, to debate with him, to show how his logic wasn't right. And yet Jesus blew up their plan with a simple and plain reply. And the most important commandment, out of all of these, the most important commandment is to love God with absolutely everything you got. Jesus quoted from what Moses had shared with the Israelites 1,400 years earlier when he said this. And before they could even reply to what Jesus has said, he goes on to now quote from Leviticus 19:18, and he says, "A second commandment is equally important, and that is that you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself." Love God, love people. Those were Jesus' two core values. Those two values impacted everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did. So, core values are a reflection of one's core convictions. And convictions are something in our heart that we are willing to sacrifice for. Convictions are something that we are willing even to die for, give our life for. You see, there are a lot of responsibilities and a lot of things that we all have in our lives that are important, but core values, core convictions are the things we are most passionate about. No matter what an organization does, no matter what an organization achieves, no matter where it goes, these values are fixed. They are steady. They are the true north on our moral compass. People and churches and organizations and companies may change how they do business or how they fulfill their purpose, but these values should rarely, if ever, change because they are rock solid. They form the foundation of a business or a church or an organization and even an individual, and that's why they have to be rock solid. Core values answer the question, why do we do what we do? When one examines the life and the quotes of the famous revolutionary patriot, Patrick Henry, there's no doubt as to what his core value is. I mean, he made it very plain. He once said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." And he had many quotes like this. Another one, he said, "I have now disposed or transferred all of my property to my family. There's one more thing I would give them, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If my family has faith in Jesus and I had given them nothing else, they would be rich. But if they have not faith in Jesus and I had given them the entire world, they would still be poor indeed." So there's no doubt that his core value was the same as that of Jesus: love God. Do people know what our core values are as individuals? You see, our core values guide our way of thinking and they guide our way of living because they are the foundation, the very foundation of who we are. They go with us everywhere we go. And they are responsible for how we conduct ourselves, in public and in private. Many organizations make the mistake of thinking that they're going to choose what their core values are and somehow fit them into what they are doing. Jim Collins is the author of the book From Good to Great. Collins maintains that core values are not determined by random choice, but rather, he said, they are discovered by intense introspection. In other words, we already have them. It's just a matter of figuring out what they are. Stories told of a man who loved history and old books, and he met another guy who claimed to have just thrown away a Bible. And he said it had been stored in the attic of his ancestors for generations. He said, I couldn't read it. Somebody named Guten something had printed the Bible a long time ago. This history buff is like, are you crazy? Johann Gutenberg? You threw away a Bible printed by Johann Gutenberg? That Bible was one of the first books ever printed. Why, I recently saw a similar copy of it that sold for over $2 million. You threw away that Bible? And this guy, he didn't know the value of that Bible. He didn't know who Johann Gutenberg was. He says, well, the one I threw away wouldn't have even been worth a dollar. Some guy named Martin Luther had scribbled all over it in the German language. You see, one man valued the book because of what he knew. The other man didn't because of what he didn't know. The values of the first Christians were very similar to those of Jesus. Love God. Love people. And we see that in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, where it tells us the early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. This new body of believers they were a part of had become their family. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to prayer. This new body of believers, we are told in Acts 2, they met daily. They sold their property and their possessions in order to help each other out. They were all on the same page. They all shared the same core values. And as a result, the scripture says they were one in heart and one in mind. Our vision at New Hope Christian Church reflects Jesus' core values. Pursuing God, not just for my own benefit, not just so that I can get to heaven. My purpose here in pursuing God is for the benefit of others. Because the more that I pursue God and the more I grow in my relationship with God, the more I'm going to love other people. The more I'm going to care about other people. Therefore, we are being the church wherever we do life. It's not just what we do here that is being the church, it's what we do there. We live out our faith because we not only love God, but we love the people whom God has created. Loving God and loving people is not just something we do 1 hour or 2 hours on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night. It's something we do 24/7, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whoever we're talking to, whether it's a total stranger, whether it's someone in our family. It impacts how we treat people. And we're going to see over the next 5 weeks how our five core values at New Hope are a reflection of Jesus' core values. So, next question is, why are core values so important? Jesus was very clear as to why loving God and loving people is important. Note there in verse 40 of our text, he says, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. If for whatever reason we don't believe in God, there's no sense to obey a God in whom we don't believe, right? I mean, just stands to reason. Or if we do believe in God, but, you know, that belief doesn't necessarily impact the way that we live, we're not necessarily serious about it, again, that there's no need to obey him. Jesus taught, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only that individual who does the will of my Father will get to heaven. He also taught that we need to do to others as we would want others to do to us. If we don't really love others, what does it matter how I treat them? I mean, if my world centers primarily upon pleasing myself, who cares how I treat other people? Loving God and loving people are the core values of everything in Scripture. I mean, if we don't share those core values with Jesus, there isn't anything of value to us in the Old Testament or the New Testament. That's what Jesus is saying. That's why these core values are so important. I'm not a physical fitness expert, but I have read that the human core... Whoa. The human core, the center of our body, impacts the rest of our body. Our core rotates the body. It gives it momentum for us to be able to walk or run or lift weights or pick up a gallon of milk in the back of the refrigerator. Our body core stabilizes the whole body. Health experts tell us that keeping our core fit is important and too often neglected. Research shows that those who routinely exercise their core have a lower risk of injuring other parts of the body. So trying to function with a weak body core is kind of like a fish flopping out of water. For a church to try and function without core values is like a fish flopping out of water. We need to know what those are. So let me give you three quick reasons. I'm sure there's a lot more, but three reasons why core values are so important, why they are the center of what we do as a church, like our body core is the center of our body. Number one, core values reveal who we are. It's interesting to me how churches like to be identified. I mean, you can go on websites, you know, and some churches like to pride themselves on, we stand firmly on the King James Version of the Bible. That's what's important to them. And other churches, you know, will say they love to celebrate Jesus the traditional Anglican way. So you know what you're getting into if you go to that church. Some like to point out the importance of the liturgy in their worship service. Others like to say that they are a Holy Spirit-filled church, and the list goes on and on and on. When we're seeking friends or when we're assessing an individual as perhaps maybe a spouse later on in our lives, don't we want to usually know what their values are? Don't we kind of want to be on the same page with them? We don't want to marry someone whose foundational core is distinctly different from our own. And likewise, when people are searching for a fellowship of believers they can worship with, they can associate with, they can get involved with, they want a group of believers they can identify with. Their core values are the same. Now, in the Church of Jesus Christ, it's not necessary that every one of us have the same skills or that we all have the same talents. It's not necessary that we all have the same likes or the same dislikes. It's not necessary that we all come from the same background. But it is important that we identify with people who have the same core values as ourselves. So when Jesus was talking about money and possessions, he says, where your treasure is, where you spend your money, that's where your heart's going to be. And in a similar fashion, whatever it is we as a church choose to focus in on, whether it's children's ministry or young adult ministry or senior saints ministry, whether we choose to focus on serving the saved or saving the lost, whether we focus on meeting the needs of the community or meeting the needs of our church, whatever our focus is, it's going to be a reflection of our core values. Because they reveal who we are. They reveal what's important to us. Jesus wanted to be known as loving God and loving people. How about us? Secondly, core values promote a common synergy. You see, when people share the same values, they're going to be energized, they're going to be passionate, they're going to be engaged in what they're doing, they're going to be of one heart, one mind, and we see the evidence of that in the early church. Because the early Christians shared a common love for God, because they shared a common love for people, the Bible says they enjoyed the favor of everyone. Yeah, even those who didn't belong to their fellowship. In fact, I'm just going to go through here quickly, and the references are there on your outline. But in chapter 2, verse 47 of Acts, it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why? Because they were on the same page. They knew why they existed. They knew what their purpose was. Chapter 4, God's grace was powerfully at work in them all. Why? Because they were all working together. Chapter 5, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Chapter 6, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Chapter 8, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Why? Because they knew what they stood for. They knew what their purpose was. And everybody was on board together. It's vital that we publicize and we strategize and we organize around the same core values, because there's an energy, there's a synergy when people are all on the same page. There's loyalty and there's commitment there when we share a common vision. And so as we examine our core values over the next 5 weeks, our prayer is this, that as we're looking at these, everybody's going to say, now that's what I'm talking about, you know? That's why, sign me up. I got to get involved because I can agree with that. And it's my hope that families will sit down each week, or couples or individuals, and will take that particular week's core value and say, how does that relate to my life? How does that relate to our family, et cetera, et cetera? Number 3, core values drive daily decisions. Knowing what's important to the body of believers allows us to know what programs to focus in on, where to steer our resources. On April 14th of 1912 at 10 p.m., the Titanic crashed into this huge iceberg in the mid-Atlantic Ocean. The massive cruise ship would sink in 4 hours. More than 1,500 people of the estimated 2,224 passengers and crew members, more than 1,500 lost their lives, primarily because there weren't enough lifeboats to save everyone. Well, one woman was already in a lifeboat, and she asked if she could go back to her room. I probably said, no way, Jose, we're pushing off here, we're getting out of here. But they said, you got 3 minutes. So she runs through the corridors that were now already tilting and filling with water. And in her room, there are all kinds of treasures that she could have snagged. You know what she grabbed? 3 oranges. A few hours earlier, she probably naturally would have grabbed her diamonds over oranges, but values seem to be a whole lot clearer in the face of death. People seem to think more about what's important when we contemplate our own mortality. Now, it's one thing to clearly state our values. It's another thing to live them. And I'm telling you, the world can spot hypocrisy a mile away. The world can see the consistency between what we profess to believe and how we choose to live out our beliefs. According to J. Walker Smith of the Yankelovich Consumer Research, I'm just so proud of how Yankelovich just came right out of there. That's good. He says, quote, "We've gone from being exposed to about 500 advertisements every day back in the 1970s to being exposed to over 5,000 ads a day in the 2000s. And while that may seem like a staggering, impossible number, it includes everything from radio and TV ads, pop-ups while we're surfing the internet, billboards, banners on buses, garage sale signs, ads in the aisles of Walmart or the grocery store, tags on our clothes, Facebook feeds, the list goes on and on. And you know, the problem is, our minds can't process that much information, that many messages. It's too much. David L'Amour, an award-winning media and brand strategist, estimates that in New York City's Times Square, you've probably seen the pictures there, you know, at New Year's Eve, he estimates that a person could see no less than 500 messages in a span of just a few minutes. But he says in order to process, the human mind will, in his words, quote, skim to see what connects with our core wants and desires and values. In other words, we got all this information out there in front of us, and somehow our mind is able to sift through all of that to the things that we deem are important. Does that make sense? And in the same way, we live in a sea of humanity. People all around us. And the world scans those people to see who's genuine and who's not. The world will oftentimes have only a few minutes, maybe a few seconds, to look you and me over and decide if what we're saying and what we're doing, the way we're behaving, if it matches up with our values. If it's worth their time, their interest. So in writing to the Corinthian Christians, the Apostle Paul tells his readers, you are a letter from Christ. He says, you're a letter written not with pen and ink, but you are a letter written with the Spirit of the living God. You are a letter not written on tablets of stone, but you are a letter written on human hearts. The Eiffel Tower is one of the most recognizable landmarks on the planet Earth. It was built to serve as the grand entrance to a World Trade Fair clear back in 1889. Did you know when it was being built, there was tremendous opposition. A group of artists and writers signed a petition that read, and I'm going to quote here, "We, the writers, painters, sculptors, architects, and lovers of the beauty of Paris, do protest with all our vigor and all our indignation in the name of French taste and endangered French art and history against this useless and monstrous Eiffel Tower." Dude, if you were the individual who designed that, that wouldn't do a whole lot for your self-esteem, would it? And so while Alexander Eiffel was roundly criticized in 1889, he believed in what he was doing. And today, the Eiffel Tower has thousands upon thousands of visitors every year. It's a favorite place or spot for romantic rendezvous. Today, Alexander Eiffel is widely recognized for his ingenuity. One more thing Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal to those who need him through us. We speak for Christ when we plead with people, come back to God. We are letters from Christ, he says, the world is reading, and we are ambassadors for Christ, the world is watching. And folks, as the culture changes and people's opinion change towards followers of Jesus Christ, let it be what it will, we got to hold true to our core values found within Scripture, articulated by Jesus Christ. During a very dark time in Israel's history, God carried the prophet Ezekiel away to a valley of dry bones. You've probably read this before. Ezekiel 37, 38, 39. And God asked Ezekiel this question. Can these bones become living people again? And Ezekiel replied to the Lord, only you know the answer. Well, we know today, nothing's impossible with God, right? Nothing. God can do all things. And so he commands Ezekiel to speak to that valley of dry bones, and it's amazing how they began to rattle, and pretty soon flesh came upon the bones, and pretty soon Ezekiel spoke and life came into the bones, and from a valley of dry bones, God raised up an army of people to give his people, the Israelite people, hope again. It's my hope that in the next 5 weeks, as we look over our core values, that God will raise us up as an army of warriors ready to do spiritual battle together because we are aligned on our values. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Nothing surprises you. You have a plan. You know exactly what's going to happen and when and where. You place us here on planet Earth in the area and the place that you do so that we can be a part of that plan. And you have a purpose for us. And Lord God, I pray that over these next few weeks, that we will not just look at what the core values of New Hope Christian Church are, but that, Lord, we will examine our own individual lives. We'll examine our families and our marriages and ask ourselves what our core values are. All God, so that we can bring you the glory that you and only you deserve. And we commit this time, this series to you, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.